bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Delete. Not that I know about that.
And that's the best joke I know. There we go. Hello, everyone. It's the big show. We're here to discuss the week's technology. Joining me, I've got a fantastic panel, and they are really fantastic this week. Top left, James Hart, who is gladly enlightened this afternoon about the meaning of BBC in a Google search.
A Twitter search, absolutely. Do not look for the hashtag BBC on Twitter. There we go. That's a public service announcement.
As made by the BBC.
Yes.
How you doing, Pat?
I'm all right, thank you. Fighting off a cold. I promise not to sneeze live on air.
Good man. Thank you very much for joining us.
You well?
I'm all right.
Nobody asks you.
No, no one asks me. No one gives a toss. I'm fine. I'm all right. I've been neck deep in video editing the last 2 days. I want to say, actually, huge thanks to James T. Ormiston, who is a guy who every week finds us piles and piles of stories and puts them in a doc for us so that we've got plenty to talk about. Jimmy T, you are absolutely invaluable. Thank you very much, mate. And also, I want to say thanks to Miles Wheatley as well, because Miles does the show notes. He does them whenever he can. It's not always immediately afterwards, but thank you, Miles. Because, again, we would have no show notes without you. So, cheers, mate. Joining us as well, and this is a rarity, and this is a first, I think, actually, maybe, is that Alex is on the panel as a guest, rather than Alex, we're one short, can you help out?
Hello.
How does it feel?
Nervous now. I guess normally I've got my excuse, and now it's just like, oh, hold on.
Yeah, you've had a week to read the doc, and you still haven't.
Something else now. I'm in shock. That's my excuse. I might not recover from the pre-show shenanigans. So if it all goes wrong, it's not my fault. I'm in shock.
Excellent, jolly good mate. Thank you. Next to him, join us from Ireland, Sarah Gray.
Hello.
There's a delay to the Emerald Isle.
No, I was just thinking what to say. Good evening, listener.
You can't steal Jim's line. You can't do that.
Why
think
not?
Your own.
Why not?
How's Ireland? Unsnowy, I gather.
Snowless where we are, and no prospect of it, which I'm very happy about.
Excellent. Okay. And last but by no means least, he was such a success last week. People wrote in. Dale Townsend.
Actually me that wrote in.
Oh, hang on. How come your Wi-Fi's been bloody perfect at the hotel until you decide to frigging talk once I've started play? Are you watching the feedback?
No.
Your audio is a utterly pointless mess, mate. Is everyone else getting this or not me?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, you're real bad, mate. Everyone's just logged on to dial home to mum on the Skype.
You might want to cut your
apparently
video.
Any better now or not?
Much better now. There we go. I don't give a toss about the lip sync, just the
he's
audio.
Holding his laptop by the window.
Send me a nice picture that your mother would like and I'll put a still up instead and you can close the video down if that helps.
Do a Will Green puzzled expression if we can, please.
I've got an image that you can have off this website
for BBC. yeah,
just let me do hashtag BBC and I'll send you something over.
Cheers, mate. Jolly good. Right, the week in technology. It's been a fab week. Oh, absolutely. The White House has replied finally to the petition for the building of a Death Star. I thought it was a bit of a lame reply myself, but Brian Cox liked it and a lot of other people retweeted it. But they're saying that they've got the space station in space around the planet, so why do they need a Death Star? There we go. And MySpace has had a makeover and it's got a picture of Justin Timberlake on the front. It's still crap. But it's got a picture of Justin Timberlake on the front. And finally, they're sending up inflatable sections to go on the space station. Yes, you heard me right. They're no longer putting up solid steel stuff. They're sending up inflatable stuff. So it's going to be kind of like IKEA at Christmas, where all the bangles and baubles and that kind of stuff go. It's a way of solving the current problem in the high street. Allegedly.
It's like a bouncy castle for
it
astronauts.
Is. Yeah, exactly.
Lucky buggers.
Exactly.
It's all right, as long as they remember to send the foot pump as well.
Well, there was a picture tweeted out this week of one of the female astronauts lying in the cupola, looking down to Earth. And it's the first time I've ever seen a picture of a woman lying down and didn't look at the woman. I looked at the Earth. I would give up most of what I have for 60 minutes in that cupola. That's just phenomenal.
How do you know she was lying down?
Is the space station sponsored by Michelin now? It's Johnny Winter.
It's going to say Goodyear on the side, isn't it? Yeah.
And Batwinch in the chat room says, Friday the 5th of July is a curry, and Saturday the 6th of July there's the bash, and the local travel lodge is £22 a night at the moment. You might want to book. You might want to book. I don't think there's going to be many spaces left, because as far to my knowledge, there was definitely at least 18 people booked on Tuesday when I announced that, thanks to Paul Wheatley. So if you want to come to the bash, get yourself some local hotel pronto. B36 is the postcode. It won't be at my house this year. Definitely not. Unless I'm single, which I might be. It'll definitely be somewhere in a ploughed field, getting pissed on from a great height, and it'll be really muddy. And there may be brucellosis or something like that involved, depending on which field it is.
And mead.
There won't be any mead. The mead is still on the back patio, and it's still staying there. We've got a rat, actually, that's coming in the garden at the moment that's trying to get the bird feeder food down. I may put some of the mead down to try and send it away. Right. The Week in Tech. Shall we start with the obvious stuff? HMV have closed all their shops, and Blockbuster's announced it's gone bust in the UK, which it had already gone bust in the US, and EE is closing all of their stores, despite the fact they've got Kevin Bacon. So clearly, there's not enough separation there. Any comments to start us off with that? HMV? I mean, I think this is personally a different thing entirely from the Jessop's issue that Alex and I argued
about. It's even more entirely different to the Everything Everywhere thing, because I don't know about your high street, but my one had a T-Mobile shop and an Orange shop. It doesn't need two shops. And they've rebranded them both, which is just balmy, really. Yeah. So all they're doing really is consolidating, which makes a lot of sense. HMV aren't so much consolidating as not honouring gift vouchers.
I've got one
Red
of those.
Back to a bull.
Oh man.
So I would, having a small amount of inside knowledge, I would hang on to my gift voucher.
So
why would I?
It could be worth a fortune in 30 years' time.
That sounds like a coup.
Right. Forget the listeners. This is irrelevant now. I've got a 20 quid HMV gift voucher. What do I need to do apart from just hold on to it? They'll tell me more.
Whisper to him.
Justify your existence here, Townsend. Come on, mate.
So there is a possibility that they will start accepting those again shortly. If they don't start accepting those again shortly, my advice would be, if you still have the receipt you purchased it with, to take it into your bank and tell them that you weren't able to exchange it, and you should get your money back.
That's only if you used your card. If you pay cash, you're knackered.
Debit or credit card. If you used cash, you're unfortunately just crap out of luck.
Right, mine's cash. So
you're crap out of luck. So I would hang on to that, but I heard a little whisper around the office today that there may be the opportunity for you yet to spend that.
Dale, what insider knowledge did you used to have before you confessed to having insider knowledge?
I'm not telling any more. That's all I can say. But they're not worthless yet.
Remember, you heard it. Remember, you heard it here first. If you bought it on cash, you're crap out of luck.
And SM2N. No, you're wrong. Sort of just over £100 is. It's really from, I mean, if you've got a £20 one, you can go back in and do what I call a chargeback and get your money back.
Well, there you go. Simon Toon being told he's wrong. There's a first.
They're still trading, aren't they?
They are still trading, but they're not accepting gift cards at this moment.
Okay.
That's a decision of their administrator. However, they want to continue trading to attempt to sell the business as an ongoing concern. So there's some work happening in the background that may assist people who do have gift cards.
I did a postgrad in law, and I was sitting thinking of all the termination points of intent to permanently deprive and all of those kind of things. But actually, it's a gift card's not a promissory note, is it, Dale?
No,
it's not. But you are protected, and it's regardless of the amount there's no actually no minimum amount on it. You can't go back and claim the money back if you paid with a card and can prove that you weren't able to take the goods.
Right.
Excellent. What's interesting is that we don't have a an ATOL-type protection for gift cards. You would have thought there should be some sort of insurance-backed scheme, you know, that any of these companies go in for, because then the gift cards would actually be more valuable, you know, to the purchaser. It's a very strange thing not to have any protection on. But just going to HMV, you know, Ewan's completely right. It's a very different situation to any of the other companies. But maybe it's a hope. But I got a sneaking suspicion from something I was told today that there's a good chance HMV will still be around. It will just be slightly more specialised and not so many stores. So let's just hope that what I got told today is right, because there are some people that are actually interested in quite large parts of it.
I mean, from a test. Sorry, go ahead, James.
I was just going to say, actually, if HMV focused on what they used to do, I mean, I think I saw a very interesting Twitter conversation about it. If they focused on what they used to do, actually selling music and not diversifying into computer games controller, headphones, all the stuff, you know, record shops actually have a boutique quality to them. And if they steer away from trying to make as much money as possible and becoming a huge conglomerate brand, they may actually have a future. I mean, Game has managed to do that in some respects, but I think Game's got a bigger kind of umbrella arm over them, don't they?
Yeah. And what HMV can basically do, as you said, is go back to being HMV. They could retroize themselves. They could give you listening rooms.
Scratching stuff onto a wax disc and getting a dog to listen to it.
Yeah, that as well. But they could give you listening rooms. They could give you things like that where there's a social aspect to going. I mean, that's why some of the Waterstones bookshop survived, because there's somewhere nice to sit down, look at a book, drink a coffee and have a chat with like-minded people.
There's a good point in there, because the listening post, I used to love going to the listening post and sharing the headphones with Sharon. You'd have these ones that could pivot through 180 and you put them in and the two of you listen to them. And when we were first married, we'd go in and we'd buy a CD together. There was a social aspect to it, just as you're saying there. And you could sell the listening post disappeared a long time back.
Yeah, but you could sell drink. You could do this sort of stuff. Doesn't have to be a coffee shop, but do something where there's a social aspect to buying music, listening to music. You might have a Motown week, you might have a hip hop week or whatever else. So you can get different people into there, like a social event in the store, and where you go, because that's something that you cannot offer in Amazon or anywhere else.
Well, that's exactly the point, isn't it?
They did. Yeah.
And that's why live music is often how bands are making. They've got their online sales and they've got their live sales, and there isn't really the sort of the real holdable media anymore. There was a point I was going to make about actually HMV selling actual records. Oh, that's right. The fact that you don't actually buy any, when you buy music, the market for auditioning before you buy. You can click on YouTube and listen to the latest song. I mean, actually, I wonder if the decline started really in the days of MTV, where you'd watch the promotional video of a song, and that's it. You've listened to the song now. You don't have to listen to it until it comes back on again on MTV in a few hours' time. And it's just the availability of the music elsewhere, which is kind of they need to find a better way of doing it. And I actually think that live performances or actual social occasions are the way ahead. You're absolutely right, Alex.
James, isn't that the same as what radio does, though? When you've got a top song in the charts, you get certain music stations will cycle that record round every so many hours.
You're absolutely right. Why are they doing that, Sarah? It's because they know that the listeners like to listen to it, and they can sell adverts. And the music industry, the BPI, can't remember. It's, you know, the industry wants to get as much of a cut of that as possible, which is why the licensing fees for making music are so expensive. So you can't just start up a music station sort of anywhere, because you've got to pay the royalties.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you don't get the listeners, you don't get to pay the royalties, which is a real shame. So you can't really play niche music, and therefore you end up having to play the mainstream music so you can get the advertisers to get the listeners. So it's, yeah.
I think Amazon the other day, they put another nail in the coffin of the physical purchaser of music from high street stores, because in the US they've started when you buy a CD from amazon.co.com, sorry, over there, they automatically upload copies of all the songs in MP3 format to your Google Music locker now. So not only do you get the physical format, but you also automatically get it ripped and into your
instant
Google Music
gratification.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Aren't they doing a retrospective if you downloaded MP3s that they're going to give you a CD backup as well now?
It's almost that way, actually. Yeah. It's
got is something they're doing that if you bought MP3s within a certain time, they will now give you a hard copy.
What I want to know is how come HMV's gone out of business? And how can Blockbuster struggle in all those other places that do music? But KTEL is still selling me shit Kenny Rogers novels at 6 o'clock in the morning on teleshopping on Sky. How the hell are they still making money out of those?
Cheap airtime.
70-year-olds buy them.
Are you serious? Kenny Rogers.
I was going to say, that's got to be a certain demographic they're making their profit from, isn't it?
Well, that's spirographic.
Don't they always say that the... if there's a market, it will be sold to. And I think testament to that are, if you get to a, if there's a particular time, or if you've got your, like your Sky, your cable television service, it'll be e-market, you know, what's that called? Televertising. Advertainment or whatever it is. I don't know what it's called, but you just have them. And you flick channels, you go, well, there's no content here. All it is advertorials. That's what they, I don't know what they call those adverts that there's sort of, rather than between shows, rather than 30-second ads,
they're called shite.
Yeah, well, that's
it's called infomercials.
Infomercials. That's it. I was getting there.
AKA shite.
Thank you very much, Saxon chat room. Infotainment. It's not. They're not. Advertrash.
Johnny Winter's come back with the ultimate put down. The reason that they keep selling Kenny Rogers CDs is because you keep buying them, Ewan.
True.
I think
stand by your man. That's all I can say.
You're keeping KTEL in business,
which is the wrong artist, I know, but there you go.
I think the original cost of KTEL is quite minimum.
Some points here as well about why can't I, from Jimmy saying, why can't stores sell me MP3s direct to my device? Why can't I walk in and just buy them, plug my device in, get the store? There's a proprietary element to that in that the Apple want the walled garden, but why can't the walled garden be franchised to high street stores? You walk in, you plug in your device, pa-chang, there you go, you bought your thing off a little computer screen.
Hey, who says Apple?
The problem is, what else do they put on your device?
Yeah. Well, no, but that's the point, is that what you're doing is going up to a... I mean, there's no reason that you couldn't do a vending machine. And the vending machine's got a lightning connector and you... there you go, thank you very much. As long as there's no upload process, it's all download process. There's nothing stopping you being able to do that. And you could do, you know, pull out a port and screw it in and it's Google, it's Amazon, it's Apple.
Well, I mean, what's Apple's percentage on top of a track?
30%.
30%. So if someone came along High Street and said we'd take 20%, which is probably more than they get off a CD anyway, I think that's probably not a bad business plan.
That's pretty good. I mean, they ain't getting anywhere near 30%.
Exactly. So if you go for 20%, the only difference is you've got to walk in and use our proprietary Wi-Fi or something, then, you know, come on, HMV, we want you to survive. Listen to us. We're helping you.
Darren Griffin says that KTEL is run out of a bedroom next to alongside to JML as well. I want one of their dryers. I want one of those hot air dryers that comes down over the top, doesn't produce any moisture, and it gathers it back up.
You do watch far too many.
Thank you, James. I was waiting for that.
I was just going to say, actually, it was the fact is, though, that the actual distribution of media, and they made a very good point in the chat room. I know that for a fact that Classic FM TV, which is a television station on your digital television box, is run off one computer. The technology required is next to nothing. All it is just a load of videos playing, streaming time and time again. It's very simple to put out there. And if they can make money through the means by which they do so, it's actually all they've got to do is pay the carriage fees and any kind of royalties, and they're good to go, which is why Ronco and JML, you just go into your branch of Wilkinson's, they have them in there as well. It's quite cheap to put out.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it's also not very good.
Well, I don't know. Steady on.
Dehumidifying hair.
Here we go. There we go. See, look, already Darren Griffin in the chat room has got us pictures straight away. And they're in flash, so I can't even grab them. You bastards. And it's the dry buddy. That's the one. £60, apparently. If you Google,
click on it.
Then, no, it's not the same as BBC.
Hashtag dry buddy.
Dry buddy. There's a link in the chat room. jmldirect.com/UK/laundry. I can't believe there's a subcategory for frigging laundry on its own. /dry-buddy. There we go.
Do you know, I reckon the JML website's probably had more hits this evening.
And I love the fact there's a graphic there with like the hot air spiraling up through the thing. It does. It blows up. I've seen the video. So you turn it on and it blows up and it looks like an inflatable space station accessory. And there you go.
God, is it made one of those world pins?
Surely to God that can't work.
Oh, here we go. I've got a picture. Hang on.
Well, while everybody enjoys a picture, interestingly, Paulum's in the chat room has managed to conflate two things. I'm not entirely sure if they're connected. He said, auto rip from Amazon is the way to go. Physical CDs and the MP3. That's the win. I have the dry buddy in my office and I can prove it. I don't know what he's doing with it, but it involves CDs. He's burning CDs with
them. Does that dry the CDs that you've just burned? I would have thought the burning process would have. But there you go. See, look, that's the dry buddy. The dry buddy look. If you're watching the video, if you're on audio, then get up early. Get up early and watch the TV. But dry buddy, there you go. That's the thing. You put it in and it absorbs the moisture and it heats the things up and it's cheaper than a tumble dryer and you don't get the moisture in your house. There's the trick.
That's one for the TiVo listeners.
Bastards. There we go. It looks all right. Thank you, Sax. See? Thank you.
That's not that bad.
Apparently, Sax also says that they tried the plug-in device thing with Redbox with video, but it was loaded with full of DRM and it fell on its arse.
Well, I do think it has been tried.
One at a time. Go on for it, Alex. Go on.
No, so there's the answer. Don't load it with DRM.
No, DRM's crap. Yeah, absolutely.
This is very quickly before we move. I think they did try it in the high street because I remember the amount of subversion you could do because as soon as you make anything interface with a device that you've brought with you, somebody's going to try and squirt stuff up the back end of it and break it.
Oh, let's move away from squirting stuff up the back end, for God's sake. Princess Bagel on that very point says, just to attach a bag to your dog's bottom and it has the same effect as the dry buddy.
Oh, no.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to triple
the cows.
We are going to triple sales of frigging dry buddies tonight. Absolutely.
It might be a future sponsor of the network.
It could be. JML.
British Tech Big, sponsored by Dry Buddy.
Funny you should mention that.
Or Dog's Bottoms.
Dog's Bottoms. I think that's a beer, isn't it? Right. 78 EE stores are going to close, despite the fact that they've got Kevin Bacon in them. They're not everything everywhere because they're going to be everything, but in only 11 stores now. So basically, they've got Orange and T-Mobile have merged. They haven't closed all of the stores, but they've got too many stores available now. So they've decided. I mean, they're saying it's not a high street issue. It's not a Blockbuster-esque / Jessup's / HMV type thing.
These shops always perplex me anyway, because you go. I only ever go into a phone shop when I've got something wrong with my phone. Yeah. Do people go into phone shops to go or want to upgrade? Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to end up spending time to a call centre.
It's probably best to have one big phone shop and you have different kiosks there for different operators and they can give you a different deal but on the same phone. So you pick up a phone off one shelf and then you decide what operator to go to. And then let them barter.
Fight it out between them. Oh, yeah. Death fight. Death match.
I've got an iPhone 5. Who's going to do me the best deal? Right.
I can't think straight. I've just lost it completely. I'm sorry. Paul Ums in the chat room sent a picture through of him stood next to his dry buddy.
Oh, no.
Yes, that's right.
Number one, I'd never freaking admit to it. Number two, who stops listening to the podcast to go and take a picture of themselves next to a dry buddy?
Maybe the dry buddy was more entertaining.
Absolutely.
Maybe this is one he actually had on his phone already because in case he wanted to show it down the pub.
That. Yep, he's going to show it to his mates. It's a Twitter update from 2 years ago. No.
Chat room, you've got to be relentless in the taking of the piss here. Absolutely. Go ahead.
It's got a British Tech Network toilet seat next to it.
No! No! Have I not spotted that? No, he hasn't. Steady on. Steady on.
Yeah, look, he's asked, do you want it with the loose?
You want a picture with the loose seat as well as. Yeah, and better exposed, please, as well, young man.
Yeah. I wouldn't accept that photo.
Simon Tooney, the chat room, says, I don't think that's a real dry buddy.
Yeah, he's just superimposed a cover on something else.
He just photoshopped it.
It's a dodgy one. He's got one of these, like, knockoff dry buddies. He bought it in the market.
Ah, the tech news is low this week. There we go. Formate has got a 2.5-inch SSD that they reckon is going to be 2 terabytes.
The first question is, who wants one?
I've got a 2-terabyte drive already. I carry around spinning media at 2 terabytes.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you trust an
SSD with the failure rate that they still are at the moment with 2 terabytes of your stuff on it? I wouldn't dare.
Really?
Yeah, I've got SSDs in some of the machines I built, and they're purely to run fast programs on, but everything is backed up off of an SSD.
I swore blind once that I'd never trust 2 gigabytes on a drive.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, how many SSDs have you had crap out?
Two, but they were both Kingstons, and Kingstons really are crap. If you think about buying a Kingston SSD, buy a Crucial.
But I think the technology's settled down a bit, though. I think,
but not,
you
know, that
12 months ago, you might have had that concern, but I'm saying that because I've bought a 15-inch Retina with an SSD in it, so now I'm trying to defend my position.
Well, the only thing I've got to say is, who the hell are Formo? I've never heard of these people before.
Now, they come with JML.
You get a free one with your dry buddy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So 4MA isn't a badge. So is that, I'm not heard
of. I've never heard of them before. They do make drives, though, because I've got a picture of one. Here we go. But there's no price on this, and there's no date or anything like that. But a 2-gig SSD would absolutely fly in a Thunderbolt device or something like that.
Well, why not just have it internal at that size?
Well, exactly, yeah.
Mm. But, you know, like I said, I really would be really, really scared to run any machine on any non-tried and tested.
Oh.
Okay, you can go up to, say, 256, and they're fairly stable.
Windrider in the chat room says, have you tried scanning the QR code? Because the picture that I've got up on the podcast on the video is got a QR code on it. Anyone have a go at that, let me know where it goes and send us a link.
Will do.
I can't do that. Bitman says, I've got a 4x2 terabyte Unraid, no errors yet at all. So that could work. There you go.
So you are scanner, but I can't.
I've got, well, yeah, but I don't know whether it would
pick Formay.net, Formay.net.
Formay.net. There we go. Give that a go. Are they big, or are they look like some Korean place that just shanghais your money?
Well, they would more sold it, wouldn't they?
Well, been China anyway.
I don't know.
No, I'm still not trusting of that.
Yeah, that would just be someone that rebadges a generic device out of Taiwan.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if it's a bad device, somebody's making it, but it hasn't publicised it yet, which is kind of a... Yeah. Well, yeah. It looks like it says SSD application examples, aerospace and government systems. The point is, actually, defence companies really do invest huge amounts of money to get, even for the aerospace industry and the stuff which goes into battlefield. It's got to be vibration proof and basically everything proof. And SSD certainly seems to be the way ahead for that, because it's got no moving parts inside it. So if they can make it quick and they can make it big, the defense industry is going to spend big bucks on it.
Well, there's a place at the where I stay most weeks. I stay at the Park Inn in Heathrow, and there's a guy in there who follows me on Twitter now. But he works for a firm that makes 9 terabyte SSDs, and he said that they think, you know, they sell them to defense and that kind of stuff, and they're working over
on the PC cards
over at Heathrow and that kind of stuff, and they make these huge things that cost thousands and thousands and thousands. But he said there's extremely high reliability on those, because they wouldn't get the contracts otherwise. So it's out there if you want to spend the money,
I wonder if Alex's point still stands, though, that if an SSD drive goes wrong, you are scuppered. You can get physical drive repairing equipment. You know, you can actually get in there and get sectors back off the drive. If your SSD drive goes wrong... Yeah. That's a lot of data to be losing.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to say as well, though, if you're stupid enough not to back up. I mean, the one thing that I've got as a process, you know, I carry around a separate wallet for spent SD cards and unused SD cards, and when I get stuff on the laptop, I keep the SD until the laptop's been synced with the drive back at the office, and the drive back at the office, when that's done, then I release that SD for, you know, I've always got two physical copies in two different medias, and I haven't got the third location when I'm on the road. That third location appears when I get back here, and realistically I only scored two. But you know, if you're not backing up and you lose a 2 terabyte SSD, then you're stupid. I mean, there isn't any other word to describe it in a modern era.
Only, as you say, it's the only way that you've actually got the only place you've actually got the data stored.
I mean, if there's anyone listening to this podcast and they haven't backed up their data that's precious to them, the family photos and all that kind of stuff, you are stupid. Well, because the price of physical media is negligible at the moment in comparison to what you
say that, but it doesn't occur to people to do it. Honestly, it doesn't.
It doesn't. I agree. It's just the amount of people I know who don't back up. It is stupid. I mean, family members that I've told for years to back up, and all of a sudden they come and say, "Oh, my computer's not working," and then you go and the drive's crashed.
I have to say though, I mean, you know, having worked in the industry for so long, I've got I'm very good at it. However, a lot of that's come out of experience of losing data over the years. Yes. And that's really, you know, until you actually lose something, I don't think you ever really get it in terms of the importance of backups.
Mm. I agree. That's when I first started backing up. When my first notebook crashed, when I was on an overseas trip, and I had nothing, I'd lost everything. I'd lost about 18 months worth of Outlook and a whole lot of other things, but I hadn't backed it up.
Well, Jimmy in the chat room makes a good point that we've got cloud backup. You have these solutions. And actually, if you have a folder which is synchronized with box.net or Dropbox or Amazon, you're kind of all right. But
yeah, but that only works if you've got an internet connection. I mean, Alex is going to relate to me a little bit here. I'm stuck in a field taking a picture of an aeroplane. I haven't got a data connection that's good enough to start uploading photos that at TIFF level are at 57 meg.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I mean, just, you know, this guy's taking pictures that are far bigger than mine, and some of it, your media is unbackupable in the field because it's 10 by 8 plates. You know, well, that whole process is this idea of cloud solves everything, and this is where it's really pissed me off this week, because, you know, the idea of the action in the cloud solves all your problems works fine if you're in California and there's a base station that you can log on to or that will pass you along for a cell provider repeatedly as you go along, or you've got your iPad constantly connected to the net via a cell phone. But if you're me with a MacBook with a 3G connection that's really not up to the job because they want me to go on to the 4G stuff that they're about to start launching with a brand new dongle, the cloud is just nothing to me. It has no bearing upon my job whatsoever. And I need backup. I need localized storage. And that's where something like this, a 2 terabyte drive, I carry around my little Thunderbolt adapter thing. And in there, I've got 4 terabytes of data that I carry around, or 4 terabytes of storage. And I use the 2 terabyte one as a scratch disk for Final Cut Pro. And then all the basic stuff is stored on the other drives as a backup from what I've got, because I just can't rely.
But I think that Ewan, that's absolutely right. There are two points I'll respond to. One, you're absolutely right. The cloud technology just isn't quite ready yet. Give it 5 years, and I dare say, except for 400 feet underground,
you cannot tell me and Alex that 5 years' time is the save all.
But secondly, I would say you deal with your livelihood depends on digital media. Therefore, you are going to be incredibly sensible about your backup options.
Saying is, James, the industry is not providing me with backup options and utility options which suit the fact that I come back to this Adobe thing with CS6. They want to push towards the cloud service. Holy crap, I really don't want the cloud service. I want physical media. I want something that's on my hard drive that I can start, and I don't have to worry about authentication or anything like that, because most of the time I get none of that.
I'd go further. I'd say I want a physical media for when it goes pear-shaped, is the polite way of putting it. When I'm sitting in the middle of the field with my MacBook Pro and something's gone wrong with CS5. I want a CD or a DVD to put in my drive to try and repair it. Because of, I mean, this goes back to so much of I've been arguing with people recently today. Today we were I was talking to people about, you know, they're saying, why do you need CDs and DVDs? Do you know what percentage of people in this country can stream even half decent video down the internet? Only 30% of this country can stream proper, well, half decent SD level of video down the internet. So, you know, when people are saying, well, you don't need DVDs anymore or Blu-rays or CDs or anything, of course you do.
But
it's
I would
count if you live in a city.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The cloud isn't there yet, but I'd counter the professional side with saying that if I were to, if in my IT business, I were to buy a server, I would not consider a server that didn't have some kind of RAID storage to it. It's just that prosumer and professional equipment, they haven't thought to say 2 points of storage. It's you know, that is the de facto standard of it. You have to do it. You have to bring your own recipe and do it yourself. And that's why I think where the industry's let you down, rather than they haven't come up with the times. And you're absolutely right. They're trying to sort of sell you these alternative solutions where the recipe just isn't there to do it out of the box.
Tooney in the chat room says that I'm Captain Sensible. I'm Captain. I want to get paid.
Yeah, well, no, exactly right. That you, and that's exactly what I was going to say. As a software developer, I'm in exactly the same situation as you. You know, my livelihood depends on making sure that I don't lose the stuff that I generate. For clients, it's absolutely essential that I do not lose that. So the importance of that backup is true. What I was going to say was, I regard CDs and DVDs, whenever I want to get a film episodes of a TV program or an album or something, I will always buy it on the physical. No, I will always buy it on the just let me finish, James.
Sorry.
I will always buy the physical media because I will then rip that, but then I will use the CD or the DVD and I'll stick it in an envelope somewhere and it's my backup. Yeah. I may not use it, but also I've then got a legal copy of it. So, and I think there's they sit in a cupboard, you know, in a stack of discs and whatever, and I'll probably never look at them once I've ripped them.
As opposed to the illegal copy that you ripped.
Well, no. The point is, but the point, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I'm using it to illustrate the point of, like you said, about your SD cards that you take out the camera. That is your physical backup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I say I've got a red patch and a blue patch, and the red patch is the ones that I do not write over. I can't put anything into a camera that comes out of a red patch. It's got to come out of a blue patch, and it's OCD. But you know, a guy today, I was at a function, and this guy wants some table space, so he starts taking my stuff off and putting it on the floor, and I'm like, back off, Susan Boyle. I am not having this. You know, this is my stuff. And he's like, well, you need to move space. Okay, look, I'll pack it away, but let me pack it away in my own time, because I've walked away from sites in the past where I've been rushed off site and I've left lenses. You know, I have to put things back. And Alex and I have had a conversation about, why do I use flight cases instead of bags? More often than not, I use flight cases because I cut out spaces that hold the lens. And if the space is not full, I don't close the case and lock it. I go and look for the lens. I can't, and I get rushed immensely. It's like I sit and wait for 4 hours for something to happen. That lift happens in 20 seconds, and then I've got to go and shoot something else that's just about to start because they couldn't wait for me any longer. And you walk away from so much stuff if you're not careful, and that includes your data. You get rushed, you lose your data, and you've got to have something that backs you up, that supports you.
Oh, or in my
it's
case.
Not OCD, Ewan. It's just about being careful and professional and looking after the equipment that you've invested in.
Well, last week or the week before, I left my MacBook Pro and we went back to get my MacBook Pro, got in the car and realised I'd walked in with my camera. I put my camera down, picked up my MacBook and walked out. So I had to go back in and get my camera. So it's very, very, very easy when you're distracted. I carry around so much equipment and 80% of it I don't need, but I might need. And I can't finish that job if someone says to me, actually, we need you to do that. And I go, oh, no, that means I need a flash kit with a reflector or a flash kit with a softbox. I mean, I've got to have it with me because I don't know when I get there what I'm going to do. And you're carrying around so much crap. And it's the same with the backup. I mean, the drawer I've got in front of me has got some very, very old, expensive, I think Epson made them. They were the only people I knew that actually made boxes with screens on it purely you just chucked your cards in it and it backed it up to the boxes. The only trouble is Epson stopped updating the firmware on it, so it can't read my RAW files anymore. So that's why I have to take a computer. I also back up onto a pad as well. Now I've got that. So I leave with something in the camera on a card, something on a computer on a hard drive, and something on my iPad. Nothing in the cloud, because of, by the time I left there, I wouldn't have even managed to back up one picture.
I still think my point stands that you've had to build that whole infrastructure yourself. And you definitely have to carry that whole infrastructure around with you, rather than that being provided. You know, Sachs made a rather ironic point in the chat room about having a Raspberry Pi backup in a flight case. If there was a thing where you just stick your camera down and the data trickles off it, and the firmware remains up to date, everybody would be using it. So maybe we've got some ideas here for Dragon's Den in the future.
Well, you have, but the problem that you've got, I mean, the 6D I've just purchased has got built-in Wi-Fi, so I can automatically key back to my laptop. But the problem is I can't sit and run my laptop. You know, my laptop has got maybe 2 hours battery power in it at all. I'm sat in a field for 2.5 hours waiting a frigging plane to get air traffic control release from Toulouse. I can't have it running all the time. And that's where it all falls over. Chat room suggesting whether JML actually does something that will solve my problems.
Well, what basically
the Wi-Fi buddy
needs to do is we've got loads of docking. You know, you get battery grips, you get this. We need something which is a universal interface, you know, that agreed by all the manufacturers. It doesn't only have to be video cameras, it can be video or anything, that has a docking port that has some sort of firmware which is universal, which is an auto backup universal. So you dock it onto something that, if for want of a better word, is just a hard drive with a battery in it, and it automatically just backs up for you. No screen, nothing fancy, just a very fast USB-free, if you like, backup. That would be brilliant, but that just means all the manufacturers have got to get together and actually come up with something that's universal between them.
And Princess Bagel has got it.
Exactly. The Raspberry Pi buddy from JML. Anders in the chat room says a Python script would do that for you as well. But he's Mr. Python. JML will fix it, says Paulums, but we'll move on from that quickly.
Better ad.
Yes.
This podcast and all the others is sponsored by UK2.net. They're brilliant. If you haven't got anything from them, and there's a suggestion about whether they do a backup service, I don't think they do a backup service per se, but certainly you can buy servers from them that you can just dump stuff up to, and it's pretty quick on the transfer. I mean, we upload all the podcasts up, and they go up very, very quickly. Talk to UK2. If you want a server, then get a server, back up your stuff to there. There's your cloud storage straight away. If you've got a login and an interface on your computer, dead easy to do. They'll sell you anything. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they'll mind whether you use it as a web server or whether you just use it as a cloud storage. They're
not absolutely
mind.
There's no reason that you can't buy a server off UK2 and have all that cloud storage instantly at your space, as long as you've got a login and an interface. You're not going to get it from your camera direct to that space, but certainly if you go through your computer, you've got something online. And you can get gigabytes of transfer. 100 gigabytes a month will cost you £200. It's ridiculous amounts of money in comparison to what you may lose. They've also got loads of domains. They've got great hosting packages. They've got co-location services. They've got tons of stuff. And the big part is they support this network. They pick up all of our bandwidth, and it's an enormous amount. We've got 60,000 listeners at the moment for the Mac Show each week. We can't cope with that kind of bandwidth without UK2 supporting us. So please, if you like listening to British Tech Network, if you want something for the web, go check it out with them first. Buy it from them, because even if you find that, I mean, they're pretty good on price anyway, but even if you find that they're just a little bit bigger, you're going to support us. You're going to keep us on the air by looking after them. So please support UK2, because they support us. We'd be lost without them. Right. Have we got any other stories you want to do? Or is that James? You had a story about BBC or something, no?
I'm surprised we didn't touch on Facebook and their announcement about the graph search thing, which just does my head in.
I wasn't going to spend much time on the Facebook thing, because I got to say, I really looked at that and thought, what really? Well, was that really worth a keynote?
They've upsold it to such an extent, but it only works to the extent whereby people actually, you know, if you go to a go to a hotel, you'll log the visit in TripAdvisor if you want to advise other people. And that's over there in TripAdvisor. If you buy something off Amazon, you mark it in Amazon as being a great purchase. You buy something off eBay. So where is Facebook going to get this data from? That's the thing that I don't understand. Unless every single web page has a little Facebook cookie inside it and grabs your data, which is quite a frightening prospect, and it could possibly be the case.
Put it beyond them.
They're actually doing it from their own check-ins, from what I understand. So people check into places as they go there, and that's what they're using to do it. But they can only search. So what I heard was they were only searching public data on their own network from check-ins, from pictures, from comments. So they'll if you put in a graph search for restaurant in this area, they'll go through, and anything that's publicly listed on Facebook, they'll come up and bring it up as part of that search.
Okay.
It works. I mean, what sort of worries me is I spent, again, all week going on about how, you know, the internet is destroying the high street because basically the internet is taking over everything the high street produced. Whether you agree with that, it's not relevant to my point here. Facebook is trying to do that to the internet. Facebook is trying to basically take over every individual part of the internet and amalgamate it into one thing called Facebook. So you're going to have, I would say, in the next few years, you're going to have people that say, you know, you won't be going onto the internet or Googling or looking for this, that, or the other. You will just go onto Facebook because that will be your one-stop shop for everything that happens on the internet.
Remember when AOL did that?
Yes, but AOL did that with, you know, amalgamating sort of bits of the internet into it. Well, Facebook are going to sort of try and, the way I see it, is they're going to try and not show the internet anymore. It's going to be an app-based thing that they will give you the information, but only via Facebook. And this graph search thing, it seems like the first start of that. It is obviously like Google, but only Google within Facebook.
Which, of course, has its benefits then, doesn't it? Because the information that's being provided with is people-generated information rather than the spider information, which could actually be either manipulated or just simply wrong. You just type in stuff like hashtag BB. No, don't. So yes, it's if you like, it's curated by the members of Facebook. But in doing so, you also run the risk of making it so if Facebook continues to lose users, it lost 600,000 members in December, as I saw on the document. It becomes less relevant the smaller it gets. So as long as they can maintain that momentum, it's great. And the interesting thing is, of course, the other story that I was going to cover, again Facebook related, is the fact that they've implemented a voice channel,
yes,
to their messenger
in America, yeah. US.
Again, if they spread that to the rest of the world, people will be communicating through Facebook Messenger. I wonder whether they'll be doing some kind of voice recognition or context recognition, depending on people are talking to each other, who they're talking to. And Facebook already does that. The people who I interact with occasionally, as it is, the more I do, the higher up the list they put it. So the communication becomes kind of like centered around the habits I form.
It's called talking, James.
Well, the people I talk to most are the people who I listen to most, and therefore the somebody who I haven't spoken to for 6 months, I may not actually hear
from
them.
That's why you
sad.
Never reply to my tweets.
Who are you again?
Yeah, that's why you never reply to my tweets. I got you. Finally.
There you go.
Oh, there's a story that's just I'd remember because I spoke about it this week with somebody, which isn't on the list, if I could just quickly mention it, because I thought it was quite interesting. I've been dealing with O2 this week regarding certain other things. They got in touch with me about something. And I do remember about 6 months ago, a year ago, they were going to launch a service, which the reason I'm mentioning it now is because it's actually supposedly ready to launch. And it's called, I did write it down, I think it's called TuGo, T-U-Go. Oh, I think it might, O2, TuGo, I can't remember if it's Go or TuGo2. I did write it down. But what it basically is, it's their software version of what Vodafone do when you're out of range, it goes via Wi-Fi. But what they've done, they've gone down a VoIP route. So you can run this on a laptop, a pad, any PC, any Mac, and your phone. And what it basically means is your mobile phone number, including your texts and everything else, and your minutes and everything, can be routed through VoIP now. So if you're in an area where you've got no signal, but you've got Wi-Fi, your phone will still work as a phone. If you haven't got your phone with you and you're in the office and you forgot your phone, you can flick up, basically, you can flick up your phone and all the contact from your phone out and in onto your computer. You can do it on your, you can walk around and talk on your iPad mini if you want, because you'll be able to do it by VoIP. So it's a VoIP service, including text, but it will be on your actual mobile number.
So if it worked internationally, that'd be amazing.
Yes,
yeah, well, the thing that said, irks me about this, hold on. Sorry, I shouldn't interrupt.
Said, sorry, oh. Accidentally, is the system isn't working properly. So when it comes out, if you're abroad, it's not going to know you're abroad, and you're going to be able to have your local data, your local talking rates from anywhere. Which I thought was really interesting. And he said, I'm not supposed to tell you that, but it's a bug in the system and we're not sure how long it's going to take to get rid of it. So that would be a really useful thing to know if you're going abroad with your phone.
I've got a bit of a problem with this. Companies are moving towards SIP-based solutions, IP-based solutions for their local phones and for their, you know, and for the way they communicate with the world in general. Therefore, they're using their internet communications to pretty much go the whole way. However, if I were to use my SIP phone on my phone using TCP/IP and communicate and dial a number, which is also a SIP phone at the far end, I still get charged for it because it still uses, in some, I don't know how or why, but it seems to use a public network. Yeah. Nobody's paying for that call. Nobody's actually, yes, the data's going down there, but the IP connection has already been made. It's not costing anybody anything to make that phone call.
I agree,
irks me a little bit that they can charge for phone calls which shouldn't really be charged.
Yeah, and I do agree, because I did say to them, so are you going to be taking this out of the, you know, the allowance for your phones? They said yes. But they need to do that, because the only other system, which is a hardware-based system, which Vodafone have run, called Sure Signal or Sure, I can't remember what it's called now. It's gone out of my head. But even though you're using your own home broadband network to make the phone call, it still comes off your minutes.
Yeah.
And this is like their way of saying, well, look, we are going to take it off your minutes because we are linking your mobile phone number and all the rest of the things that go with that to this SIP VoIP based system. But, you know, the good point is, more than anything else, that there's loads and loads of places. For instance, I go to loads and loads of jobs where there's no way my phone works in some stately home in the middle of nowhere, but they've always got a Wi-Fi connection. And for me, that would be perfect. It just means that I can now send and receive phone calls on my phone, but with the same number, which is very, very important.
It's their desperate attempt to try and hang on to the fact that realizing that the whole world is moving from a telephony network to an IP-based network. And they've got to find a way of making some money out of it.
They need to make money, exactly.
Princess Bagel in the chat room says, will I mention BT Smart Talk app? There you go. Just did.
Then.
No, just did it. There you go. It's fine. BT's Smart Talk app.
I'll mention it as well. BT Smart Talk app. And it was called Sure Signal.
There you go. There you go.
Is that available from JML?
Could be. The dry BT.
It will be.
Absolutely. Anyway, before we get any further, we've got a competition. Now, I'm one for outing crap customer service. So if people do something that's bad, I tweet it out and I make sure I include them. And one of the people that I tweeted out was 12 South, because I have a hover bar, and a hover bar holds your iPad and it hovers above the desk and it links to your monitor and stays up there. Now, since I got my brand new Apple monitor, I managed to have my hover bar up and I watched the cricket on it and stuff, but the problem is it kept sinking down. So I wrote to Andrew, who was at 12 South, and I tweeted out, included him in it, and I said, my hover bar's a piece of crap. And he said, we don't make crap. So what's the problem? I said, the bar's going. He said, no problem. 3 days later, I get a brand new bar. Now, that's customer services. Well done, Andrew. Thank you very much, mate. So thumbs up to 12 South and thumbs up to the hover bar. And I fitted the new hover bar and the bar works and it's fine and everything's dandy. And Andrew said, we'd like you to sponsor your podcast a little bit. So what we're going to do is give you a high rise to give away. Now, what's a high rise? A 12 South high rise is excellent because what it is a little box that fits underneath your monitor. Now, this has got the Apple monitor on, but if you've got a similar style of monitor, then this would work. But you could sit the monitor on the top. It's a box. It's an aluminium box that links together, and it allows you to support your monitor higher up and use the storage space underneath to charge your cell phone or your iPad or any kind of device that you've got. And it's got two little magnetic front and back that pop up and down so that you can store the stuff underneath it. And as I say, there's one there that's specifically made for the Apple monitors, but any monitor that you've got would sit quite happily on top of this thing. It's beautifully made out of aluminium. I can't tell you how nice it is. And we've got a free one to give away. This thing's worth £80.
Woo!
Yeah, it really is.
So I know the appropriate noises.
Yeah. So if you want to win this, then it's dead simple. All you've got to do is tell us how many products 12 South have got on sale in the UK as of today, the 17th of January. How many products have 12 South got on sale in the UK as of the 17th of January? And send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and you could win a 12 South high rise. Absolutely.
Or alternatively,
beautiful.
You could answer how Ewan got barred up.
How Ewan got what?
Barred up.
What's barred up mean?
Oh, really? It's an Australian term. Okay, forget that.
Which means I can only edit so much.
I was going to say, second prize is Ewan's droopy one.
Yeah.
There we go. It's a high rise. It's £80 worth. It's courtesy of Andrew BG and Shannon, the lovely lady who sent it to me. So there you go. If you want one of these, send us in the question. How many products are available on sale in the UK from 12 South? Dead easy.
Interestingly, though most people haven't noticed, but there's a grill underneath your iMac that looks really, really, really similar to that.
Yeah, you know, your iMac is that stylized.
Forward, it would look exactly the same.
Alex, I was thinking it looks like the side, but I couldn't remember because I'm not an Apple, being not an Apple fan. I didn't know which Apple, but it's the big PC server thing. Yeah, I thought that, with the bars on the side, that kind of looks like that.
Mac Pro.
But yeah, the grill is at the bottom of an iMac where you have your speakers and also where you change your.
Hence the rings on the side.
It looks exactly the same.
The email address says Johnny Winter again. It is britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Send it in and make sure you put in high rise competition. And Princess Bagel, who's a Windows lover, says, I don't just want it, I need it. Yeah.
Well, get to the
get the question right, and it could be yours. We'll draw the person out next week at random, and they will win it. And I will post it.
Yeah, you know, I'm no Apple lover, but I think it's beautiful as well.
Ah, there you go. You see,
you could probably get Surface to sit on top of that.
You could get any monitor to sit on top. The Surface wouldn't sit on top of that because the Surface doesn't work apparently. So it's crapped out already, and it's not even 2 months old. Anyway, there we go. Did it. Right. Cool things. Have we got any cool things? Jimmy boy, would you like to start us off or do you want to go reverse order?
I will start
order?
You off. One of my... I normally start. I'm starting you in.
I'm one of the starters in life.
I'll only interrupt people if I don't. One of my New Year's resolutions was to read more. And one of the benefits of having a tablet is you can sit and read it. Don't interrupt. And one of the things that... Well, libraries get very little use these days. However, you can get the library on your tablet, which is fantastic. Almost every library in the UK, if you go to their website, they use a service called Overdrive. And using that, you can actually download books. The only issue is it's very much like dealing with a real life. And I apologize to any librarians listening, but they are a bit odd. And you've got to sort of fill in forms and go through all these kind of bizarre bureaucratic processes and keep quite quiet to do it. But eventually, I managed to get Overdrive books from my local library onto my Nexus 7. And I can read a book, and I can, you know, for 14 days. And if I want to keep it, I renew it. And it's free. And so free books that are in publication on your tablet. So that's
very good.
Go to your library's website, see if they support it.
Right. And if they do, I mean, what's the limit of the books? Is it everything, reference included, or?
At this stage, there's a fairly limited array of funnily enough, there seems to be more audiobooks that are free for download for a period of time than there are ebooks. But I imagine as things go on, because let's face it, it's a single, the way they do it is it's not supply and demand, as in there is a physical book available, but they make a particular book available and you have to wait for it to become available because they bought the rights to a certain number of copies of that book, which works. But of course, they've got to build up the number of books that they've, to which they've got the rights to be able to work that out. And I think it's still in its infancy. But I mean, I've got some an author called Andre Norton, who's a science fiction writer, her short stories. And I'm going through them because I don't know how many I'm going to get through before the book needs to go back.
Princess Bagel in the chat room says, how dare you, I'm thinking of becoming a librarian.
When you would upset someone.
But she put an exclamation at the end of how dare you, which clearly means that she speaks far too loud to ever be a librarian.
You're not going to get the job.
No, you never get
when
the
you
job.
Sign in to hire, borrow a book, does your microphone on your Nexus 7 come on? And if you make too much noise, does it go shh and won't let you have it?
Great idea for an app,
yep.
Alex.
A librarian app.
Stuart in the chat room says, won't that kill off the real librarians in the long run?
Not the librarians, the libraries. Well, the fact is the local councils are doing that already.
Absolutely. Be careful where you use exclamation marks in future, please. Alex, what have you got for us, mate? You've had enough time to prep. Don't lay now.
I'm ready here.
Right,
and the reason I thought about
I've just read it in the doc and I can't believe you're going to pick this, but go ahead.
Why?
Because, I mean, you've got a reputation for being a sad old bastard anyway, but, I mean, this is just going to be worse. Go ahead.
Okay. Right, so us cultured people.
Sad old bastards, go on.
The Antiques Roadshow, mainly because we have things to do with it. Right, now, the reason why I'm talking about the Antiques Roadshow app, and as I put in brackets, not for the obvious reasons, is, right, okay, you get this app, you start this app on your iOS device, I think they have a red button thing and they have an Android version. But what it does, it allows you to guess along with the program as it's running. You know, you can give valuations and, you know, you have a choice of valuations. And it's like a play-along game, but plays along whilst the show's going. And
a play-along game for antique valuations. You had me at play.
Here you go. Right. Now, in brackets, not for obvious reasons here, right?
Go on. What it's got Fiona really Bruce in it. She takes her clothes off. It's Strip Antiques Evaluations.
Yeah. Well, she's quite cute.
Steady.
What I like about this.
It's available at JML.
When you start up.
He's going to need his dry buddy.
It listens for keywords on the show. Okay. So then the timing of your app and all the questions and whatever is now built into, you know, this week's show or whatever. So you play along in real time with the show. So, I mean, I happen to use this on the iPlayer just to see if it worked. So I'm watching this 2 days later and it's still working because it's listening for keywords.
Doesn't that mean you can cheat?
Sorry?
Doesn't that mean you can cheat?
Of course you can. But
only if you could do an impression of Fiona Bruce.
You're only cheating yourself. But my point was, I think the idea of this app, I mean, forget about the Antiques Roadshow. It's only for sad people like me, as you pointed out. But
my dad.
If you want to watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or any of these quiz programs that aren't so fast and all the rest of it, this type of app that has got the questions and everything built into the app for this week, it just means you could watch some quite enjoyable quiz show and you could play along in real time. You can then answer the questions yourself. You can see how you would have done in that. So what I'm saying is that apps like this that actually can listen to the show and they're pre-programmed for timings and cues, I just see that the use of these...
I'm just thinking there's probably a lot of middle-aged men who play along in time with Fiona Bruce already, mate.
Right, okay. Very nice.
Hashtag BBC.
Fiona Bruce and the BBC. There we go. There's a show title.
I'm looking at the future use of this
hashtag
type
BBC.
Of app, the different... I can't be bothered anymore.
Now, to be honest with you, Alex, I completely agree with you. I agree with it because people don't watch television without something on their lap. Now, that doesn't sound right either, does it?
Yeah, no, you've got a very good point, guys. And Alex makes a very serious point.
No, not really that serious. I just think this type of app for different shows and, you know, people want to shout along with the questions and answers for various shows and whatever. This has really got an interaction. And also, if you're doing it on a smartphone, you know these shows where you want to join in and they say, you know, they want you to play along at home, etc., and not with Fiona Bruce, obviously.
If in real time.
Play along at home, then if you've got this and it's only working live on the live stream, then people at home can play along, win prizes, the one that gets the most answers. You know, it actually makes interaction on live TV possible, but live.
I never thought that Alex would fill 5 minutes of conversation with an antiques road application without getting guttural over Fiona Bruce. The chat room is begging him to stop talking now about the antiques road show.
She's too tall for me.
Sax is so pissed off. He's gone on to, my wife's iPad has got a 169 address. How's that happened? There we go. Alex, that is pick of the month.
Jeremy Kyle.
Thank you very much.
Pick of the month. I love it.
You could have the Jeremy Kyle show and you could vote who you wanted to be put down at the end of it.
Who's got the worst teeth?
Yeah, Jeremy Kyle.
Playing with Fiona Bruce in real time. Or the dry buddy. There you go. There's the titles. Sarah, top that, girl.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm sorry, it's nothing to do with Fiona Bruce, Antiques Roadshow, or JML. Sorry, I'm going to disappoint you. This, my cool thing is my little 64-gig USB 3 stick that I carry backwards and forwards from Ireland with me with all my data on it, and it's fantastic. It's totally TrueCrypted, fantastic, and available for £32 on Amazon.
Oh, absolutely, that's a good price.
Yeah. Excellent. And they've got, I mean, this colour, which is a bright neon or orange.
I would love to have that. But the problem I have is everyone goes, can you give me that? And I go, okay. And I give it them on a data stick and I never get the data stick back.
Oh, that's an expensive stick to lose.
Well, I've had that's a load printed now with the company logo on
and it goes around my neck when I'm travelling.
You can lend it, but you've got to let your neck over a bit. Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely.
Lanyard, that's not an overused word, is it?
It is. No, a lanyard is anything that goes around your neck that holds your ID badge or anything like that.
Yeah, I say, but it's not used enough.
Batwitch thinks I've just orgasmed, but I can't see how. Steady. It wasn't over Vienna Bruce, that's for sure. Or a 64-gig card. Sorry. Dale, what have you got for us? Good pick, Sarah. What have you got for us, Dale?
So I've got a glove.
His capacity of touch.
Yeah, and me.
It has to do with Fiona Bruce. No, it doesn't actually.
JML?
Yeah, JML. It's from Mujo.com, MUJJO.com. And the reason I like my Mujo glove is the fact that even though it looks like a standard leather glove with no stupid little pads or anything else in it, it is completely smartphone friendly. So you can completely operate your iPhone or your iPad or whatever while you're standing waiting for the tube to arrive without taking your gloves off and freezing your hands off, but it's a normal leather glove.
That's pretty good.
When you pick that up, it just reminded me of the O.J. Simpson trial.
It doesn't fit, no.
Do I look like Michael Jackson?
Johnny Winter in the chat room says that lanyard is a word that's been used in this program enough already. iBookery says it's the Fiona Bruce glove. And
oh no.
And Princess Bagel says bully found that glove in the car park outside.
Popular pick then.
Princess Bagel also says, can you talk through your fingers like a mobile phone as well?
That's right. That look, I like my Fiona Bruce.
How much do they go for?
That was an internet rumor.
Tell you.
How much are they, sorry?
So they're not cheap. They're about 100 quid, but it's a proper good quality leather glove.
You
so
really did find them in the car park then, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's right. Jolly good.
So yeah, that's my pick.
My pick is a Lilliput 7-inch monitor.
Very good.
If you've got a DSLR and if you like shooting your video, but like me, your eyesight's failing, then what you need is something that goes into your HDMI mini port and goes into itself as an HDMI full, and have a play with it. They're great. They're about £125. They're available online, and they are wonderful. You can do composite video in as well. These things all pop off, and you can stick in your standard comp video in and all those kind of things. But they take a standard HDMI, and they're wonderful. They're also rechargeable. They come with a rechargeable battery, and when you switch them on, you'll get about... There you go. It's gone blue. Look, see?
What are those on the back, Ewan?
They're composite video.
Okay.
But there's about 4 hours of charge in this. So once you've linked something into it, it switches on and you've got 4 hours of watching it. And the replacement batteries are about £18 a piece. So you can carry 3 or 4 of them around and carry one screen in your flight case and away you go. They're brilliant. They come with loads and loads of little of attachments as well that go on for working outside. There's loads of connections that go into the base here for linking it to your shoulder straps or any kind like of tripod link or that kind of thing. Well, you actually buy that. That comes with it as standard, the little tiny stubby sun shield, but you can actually get a longer sun shield that will come out to about 6 or 8 inches from it, and they're £11 online or something like that. There's loads and loads of these that he puts out. I mean, in the dock, Mars is going to curse me because I haven't put a link, but there's no point in putting a link because if you just put Lilliput 7-inch monitor in, you're going to get so many returns on these. They're about £125 to £140, depending on where you buy them. But as I say, the fact that really sold me on this is it's rechargeable. So you get 4 hours out of this out in the field. You haven't got to be linked to a standard connection, and you can buy replacement batteries that just go in the thing on the back here. You need to carry a screwdriver around, but it's kind of standard for practice, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know about that particular monitor, but I've used Lilliput now for the last 4 or 5 years for my lights because of they make video lights that are strong enough to use for photography, and they weigh about a quarter of the weight that my Redhead did. So I've gone over to Lilliput myself, and they are very, very, very high quality merchandise.
Those Lilliputians.
Yeah, Ewan, could you hook that up to a video camera and use it as a larger screen than you've got on the camera?
Anything that you've got that will take standard composite video in the back, and it will also take standard video and inputs. There's no audio on this. There's no speakers or anything like that that will play and it'll take HDMI at the bottom there.
Wow.
HDMI at the bottom. You've got a little there to switch it on and off, and here you've got a thing to charge it. But once you've charged it, it charges on the front light here, but you can then put another battery in and recharge that battery and another one and recharge that. And then you've just got a little line. What I've got is I've got 4 replacement batteries in the flight case for it that just I can unplug this, plug in a new battery, and I've got another 4 hours of battery life, another 4 hours of video life. So.
Cool.
And I think I missed it. What was the resolution of the
video? It's 1024 by 768.
Okay, good. Cool.
You didn't miss it. I didn't say it, but it's about
it's
that.
It's only a monitor screen, so it doesn't have to be too much anyway, does it?
No, I mean, all you're looking for is a bit of, you know, am I in focus? Am I not in focus? And it's great if you've got something that's got follow focus on it. So I've got a shoulder rig that has got a follow focus on the dial on it that links to my computer, to my DSLR. And I can look at that, and then I can use the follow focus and I can put my glasses on as opposed to trying to show my finger up to the viewer. And get it that way. 3-inch screen.
I'm just chuckling at what's going on in the chat room.
Stuff them. their opinion is not important to me tonight after some of the things they've said. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. James T. Hart?
Well, it's heading towards Blue Monday, which is the most depressing day of the year. And the reason for that is because all the snacks and food products you bought at Christmas have finally all got given at Christmas as flights, finally run out. And because of the snow, Asda's completely empty. So I'm going to be hiding under my desk waiting for the snow to go, or on Twitter, Syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y.
I wonder where we get round to the point there. Thanks, mate. they're perfect for filming outside Fiona Bruce's house wearing the gloves, says Paul. Damn, I've been rumbled. I was going to do that later and keep it quiet.
I'll lend you the light.
He does conceal himself in the dry buddy whilst wearing the gloves outside her house.
That's just got something to do with a chicken and just not good. Wearing marigolds. Talking of wearing marigolds, Alex G. Fox, where are you, mate?
You've just said it.
Yeah, you did.
And my name, Alex G. Fox, on Twitter.
Good man. Excellent. Terrific. And twitterything.com, what's happened to that? Because I noticed it's gone a bit stale.
It's gone stale because I forgot to renew it, and I sort of went to renew about 20 other things, and I forgot that off the list. So I've now got to do the buying it back through a different company and transferring it over a bit. So
okay,
I've got to get around to that.
To UK2.net.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Sarah, where are you, Mrs.?
I'm in Ireland at the moment and on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK.
Am I the last chicken in Sainsbury's, says Sax? Oh, mate, like you wouldn't believe. We were talking about that before we started. And talking to the last chicken in the shop, Dale.
So at dale.townsend on Twitter. And that's about it, really.
Oh, okay. Fair enough then. you'll be pleased to hear that this show is free of horse meat. We have none in. Absolutely not.
That's a couple of donkeys.
But thank you, James, for reminding me. We'll be back again next week. We've got the big show as normal. We'll be here on a Thursday night, and we'll have loads of fun over the week's tech news. Some good, some bad.
Mostly indifferent.
Have a good week. See you next week.